Recordings are now started. Today's call is being recorded. If you object, you may disconnect at this time. Sir, you may begin.
Thanks, operator. All right. So hello, everybody. Welcome to our weekly HSTLD meeting. For those of us in the States, it's the afternoon meeting. We'll do our traditional roll call and then look at the agenda. And I will take a look at some of the changes that are coming down. So Mike Pelage is not going to be joining us today. He sends his apologies. So it'll just be me. All right, so let's take roll. I've got Jonathan Franks, Evan Leibovich, Francisco Arias, me, of course, John McElwain, Paul Smosher, and David Piscatello. Did I miss anybody? All right, great. So I sent the agenda out a little earlier in the week. Does anybody have any changes or amendments to the agenda they want to make before we begin?
Is there a mute feature? Is it star 6?
I'm not actually sure. Hylian, I'm not sure. I think it is star 6. If you want to try it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought I was talking to the operator. Did you need to interrupt?
No problem. Okay. So on the agenda today, we have really just a couple of issues. One of them is sort of central to the conversation today. It's discussing the content or the desire for content from the HSTLD group to the new applicant guidebook version 4. So we've had a request from ICANN to basically get HSTLD material put into Applicant Guidebook 4, and that's new. So we brought Mike Pelage into the discussion earlier last week, and he's requested a message or an email from Kurt Pritz to sort of outline the request. And then once he gets that, he'll post that to the group, and we all can take a look at sort of what the expectation is and the timeline. But what that essentially does is it gives us a development timeline perhaps shorter than we were thinking in last week's call. Because to get material posted as part of Applicant Guidebook 4, we'd really need to have that material together by week of May 10th, so about 4 weeks away. My understanding is that the material that they're looking at is sort of a good sort of overall program description, and then a sort of a group endorsed or a group reviewed version of the HSTLD principles, objectives, criteria, and illustrative control examples. So that's a pretty tall order. I'm going to open it up to the floor just for a minute to get feedback on that. So does anybody want to spend a minute or two and talk about that? Okay. So what I'll do in addition, sort of dovetail that into a quick description. I think as everyone knows, we had made a decision last week to have a more technical call every other week, so in the afternoon call. An hour prior to this call, we're now going over the technical details of the HSTLD principles, objectives, criteria, and illustrative control examples. Today was our first technical call. A number of you had attended, so thank you very much for attending. In the first call, we were able to take a pass through principle number 1, its objectives, its criteria, and I focused the call in on the more industry-specific illustrative control examples so that we could really focus in on areas that might be more TLD-specific, and left as homework for the group to go through the other illustrative control examples that I was able to get from other authoritative sources like ISO, PCI, and so forth. Did everyone get the agenda for that call in the through the mailing list? No one missed it? Okay. I know, David, I'll send out the schedule to you under separate cover, so you have that as well. Okay. So our next steps then, I think, you know, one of the things that I've been doing in addition to sort of trying to drive a discussion around the HSTLD controls themselves through the technical group, I'm working with Mike now to try to define, okay, so if we're going to try to get material together for inclusion in Applicant Guidebook 4, you know, what are those specific things? So, you know, there's really two things. There's the program description, what is that, and then there's the control structure. The control structure is nice and easily defined, I think, because we've got some material there, and it's been up on the wiki for a while, and we're, you know, we've got a plan to go through it with a technical call. But under the program description, what are the areas that we might need to include? And then are there some key decisions that might need to be made by this group? And you know, I think from a key decision perspective, I'd like to start to put some definite decisions around, you know, voluntary or mandatory nature of the program. I'm anticipating that we all sort of want voluntary. I don't think there's a lot of people that would really object to that. But again, I think I'll work with Mike on trying to get a vote put forward to the group. And then the method of assessment, whether we do a certification program or whether we do a report card program, I think would add value to getting into the applicant guidebook as well. The ultimate desire, I spoke with Kurt about it, and the ultimate desire that he has is that he wants to give readers of Applicant Guidebook 4 enough information that they can say, right, this HSTLD program looks like something that we want to bite off on, or no, it doesn't really look like something that's useful. So that's sort of the overall guidance. So the description, I think, if we get to the, you know, finalization of voluntary and mandatory and or a decision on what type of our method of assessment to use, I think if we get all that material together with the controls structure, we have, we'll sort of meet that objective. So I'm going to open the floor up again. Does anyone have questions at this point on that?
Hi, this is Jonathan. I have a question.
Hey, Jonathan, go ahead. Floor is yours.
I thought, but maybe I misunderstood because I've missed a call, that we had already sort of taken a straw poll and determined that the discussion is entirely around voluntary.
You are absolutely correct, Jonathan.
Okay. So I'm curious as to how mandatory crept back in.
It isn't. And actually, let me try to be as precise as I can. I want to turn our straw person vote into an actual sort of final vote. And in speaking with Mike about this a few weeks ago, one of the things he cautioned me against was thinking of the straw person vote as the final vote. I think in his mind he wants to have one sort of, you know, final full group vote on voluntary and mandatory, and I fully expect it's going to be voluntary, and I think that's a completely reasonable expectation, but I want to sort of memorialize that decision and move on. So hopefully
sounds
that makes
completely
sense.
Rational. It sounds like my missing the call probably is the source of the misunderstanding. Thank you for the clarification. I
nope.
think that's a prudent course. Yeah.
Andy,
nope.
This is Dave. Just to make certain that everybody does understand what it means, if the advisory group wants to make a recommendation that is voluntary, that's what the recommendation of the advisory group is. And the advisory group and staff would present that. But if the community turned around and, you know, as the course of evaluating the application guidebook decided it was mandatory, that is a different decision, right?
Well, it's entirely clear. This is Jonathan again. It's entirely clear to me. I just have only heard really one party stand up and request this. You know, with respect to a banking organization,
right?
That has suggested that it should be voluntary, but they've also suggested that it's voluntary for a category of financial TLDs, and there's no such animal. So that just leaves me kind of confused as to where this would apply. But I agree with you, Dave.
Yeah, I just don't want any misconception that you know, and I want to make certain that as staff, I'm doing my best to distinguish the difference between an advisory group recommendation and what is ultimately in the guidebook.
Oh, sure. And I don't want the Federal Commission of Jotham to, you know, bully the outcome, right? I don't think it's for me to proclaim the outcome. I think you're totally right. We're advising. Just like there's a governmental advisory committee, they advise, right? They don't actually make policy.
This is Evan, but having said that, a lot of the design that's going into the processes that exist now, I think, assumes voluntary and would probably be done somewhat differently if it was mandatory. So we have, I think, already been going under the assumption that it would not be required.
That's totally fair. And again, I don't mean to beleaguer the point. I appreciate the opportunity to comment. Thank you.
Does anybody else want to grab the floor for a few minutes on this one?
Hey, this is John McElwain. The only thing I would add is I think voluntary and mandatory goes hand in hand a little bit with what we do. Not advocating one way or the other, but I could see mandatory being more in line if we went with a report card. But you know, everybody should have to report where they stack up. So, anyways, just that being said, I think we need to decide somewhat whether this is a certification or a self-certification sort of rating scale.
This is Andy. I actually completely agree with it. That's why I think those are sort of, in my mind, at this juncture, those are the two key sort of things that we'd want to weigh in as an advisory group because they are so linked. I completely agree with that. And I think, you know, I think we have sort of been all going under the assumption of voluntary. At least I know, you know, I've been trying not to, but naturally have had to when building some of the material out for us. And it would surprise me if we went mandatory after our vote. But I think that the point is, let's memorialize it. Let's get that vote done and move on. So what I'll do is I'll reach out to Mike after this call. And start talking to him about how we sort of memorialize that and what vehicle he thinks is best to use it, and then we'll just we'll get it done and move forward. Okay, so that's the big news that I'm bringing to the group today. That, in addition, we will have another technical call, not next week, not for the early morning one, but the week after. Hopefully, we'll be able to get through principle number two. And perhaps principle number three, at any time during or after or whenever during the period of the next few weeks, please make an effort to have a look at those controls, read through them. I will be posting a slightly modified version of the controls spreadsheet up to the wiki, and the major change is not content. It's a change really in how I'm presenting the data. A few weeks ago, we had a couple of comments about the difficulty in reading the material up on the wiki. So I took some of that advice and sort of reworked a spreadsheet that breaks out the principles, the objectives, and the criteria versus the illustrative control examples, and I think it makes it a little easier for the reader. The technical group had a really early view at that today. And I think in general they seem to think it was a better way to present. I don't know, Evan, if you had some thoughts on that.
No, I'm very happy with the way it was.
Okay, but I'll get that posted up to the wiki so that everyone can begin to use that as a source too. All right, with that, I'm going to open it up to a QA period. I know today's call was a little shorter than normal. I think we've got through the. We've got through the agenda items. So unless anyone wants to raise an additional item or question, why don't I open it up for QA, and then I'll do the typical mic sort of round robin at the end, and we'll close the call for today. So does anybody have any questions they want to raise?
This is John McElwain. One quick question. I know we talked about last week posting what control numbers we were going to go over in the technical calls. I know we started off, obviously, with one, and I didn't closely read the agenda from that, but are we going to start posting, you know, what ones we're going to cover from here on out if we didn't do that today?
Yeah, you know, John, I did not do that today. It's a great question. I didn't do that today, and the reason I didn't, I really had no sense of how fast to throttle a conversation, so I wanted to take the first one and sort of test that out. I think what I came away from was we can probably get away with doing one principal call if I structure it in the way that I structured it today. And what I did was I went over the principal, I went over all the objectives that support that principal, I went over all the criteria that support the objectives that support that principal, and then we went through only the illustrative control examples that were specific to registry, so the NAs, if you will, on the spreadsheet. And I think that was a very effective way to do it. Again, I'm always welcome for opinion or change or, you know, better ways to do things, but I think it was a very effective way to do it today. It enabled us to quickly get through that first principle. That is kind of a month, you know, that's the big one. It's the first and the biggest.
So next week would we be starting on principle two, is that right, Ben?
That's right. That's right. And,
okay.
And you know, we sort of on the first call, I think we had lighter attendance. I'm anticipating that attendance for the technical call will get heavier as we go. If we have to go back, I don't want to, but you know, if we have to for the next call, I can understand that as well. You know, in order to get more people sort of hooked into focusing on it, but I'll let the group let me know that through the mailing list.
Great, thanks.
Thanks, John.
This is Evan.
Hi, Evan.
If the agenda that you had essentially is what are we going to tell Kurt for the applicant guidebook? I think we're going to have to start to deal with some of the heavy issues that we've been sort of ducking for a while. For instance, the report card versus certification. We've been putting off that debate, and at a certain point, push is going to come to shove, and we're going to have to tell the world something.
That's right. That's right. And you know what? What I'd like to put forward. You know, I spoke to Mike very briefly. Mike Blaze very briefly about that earlier today. What I'd like to do is you know, maybe even get a community of these sort of things together for next week's call to make some, you know, decisions around it. I'm not sure if the call is the right way to do it, or if it's, you know, maybe in that there's a little application Mike uses for voting. Maybe we use that. So I'll work together with Mike on that. But I'd like to see that sort of, first of all, instantiated, so the key things instantiated for next week's call, and then a vehicle for how we vote and how we get there, right?
Okay. By the way, ICANN has an account with something called Big Pulse that they've been using for at-large voting, and it works very well.
Ha-ha. Okay, Big Pulse. I'm taking that down. Thank you, Evan.
And if there's anyone in ICANN who needs some help with that, have them talk to the at-large staff.
But, Evan, this is Dave. Can I ask you a question? And I'm not trying to be controversial here, but I still have a hard time wrapping my head around deciding, you know, what the form of the assessment would be without knowing what the elements are. And maybe that's just me, but you know, I couldn't tell you whether a report card would be a better way to, you know, to judge, you know, judge whether someone is compliant or not to the program without understanding the elements themselves.
Okay. Are you asking me or?
I'm sort of asking a question. If everyone else is sort of gets it, then I'll take it up. You know, as just me being too in the box. But
There's actually, to me, not much of a difference between the certification and a report card, except the certification says if you pass A, B, C, and D, or whatever, then you get a gold star. The certification does not necessarily mean you had to pass 100% of everything, right? You don't need 100% to get a degree out of college. The bar could be set at various levels. It just means that rather than You know, there's 30 different lines, and somebody has to gauge what whether the red here is more important than the yellow there or the green there. You essentially have a yes or no saying somebody's met the criteria of what we consider what it means to be an HSZ.
So this is Dave again. Let me follow it through with that. So if I'm a bank, or if I'm interested in making certain that banks meet a specific set of criteria, do I then say that you've got to have crossed the red bar, the purple bar, the blue bar? You understand what like to me, if I'm a bank, it's Boolean. Either you meet them all or you don't. And this is my set of criteria.
Okay. Think of a driver's license. Okay? Think of the driving test that you did. Right? They can still give you a couple of marks off here and there, and you still get the license. But the big decision is whether or not they gave you the piece of paper or not. So you still had to meet a certain set of criteria. There's a whole bunch of check marks on the list that they've got to go through, and you may have missed one or two, but on the whole, they made a judgment on whether or not you did enough of them to justify giving you the license.
I guess to me, a driver's license is way lower a bar than a pilot's license. And I'm thinking of HSTLD as more of, you know, of the kind of things that you would put in for a pilot's license.
I'm just saying the mechanics. I didn't mean the level.
Well, but I'm using the same analogy to try to home in on where my discomfort lies. I understand now what how you're thinking, and you know, if the community thinks that's the right way to go, then that's fine. It seems like it's a little soft for a security assessment.
Okay, how is that softer than a report card where you get to do red, yellow, and green, which allows you to have yellows and reds?
I don't agree with that either.
Oh, okay, so this isn't certification versus report card. This is certification versus really tough certification.
This is you either can do this or you can't. This is a bank. I'm going to put up a whole lot of trust, in this program, you really don't have room to be screwing up.
This is
John. If I could. Let's make a little cue here. Who do we have? Who is that?
This is Jonathan.
I'm sorry. Who wanted to join the queue? Is that you, Paul?
Jonathan.
Oh, Jonathan. Okay, Jonathan, you're first in the queue. Anyone else want to get in the queue? Go ahead, Jonathan.
Okay, so this is really simple, and I think we might be pole vaulting over a grain of rice on the semantics of this because, I think there's a certain pass-fail metric to really take what David's saying into consideration. But there might be people who get an A-plus on this as opposed to an A. And it's worth noting that, that somebody just super achieved on these things. That's the nuance that we're arguing, but we're just arguing it in a different vein, that somebody with a C-plus could pass as opposed to somebody getting an A in passing and maybe getting an A-plus.
Right, and just last word, I promise. This is Dave. That's what I meant when I was saying to Evan. Perhaps there are these gradations, or as he was using in the colors. But ultimately, maybe the equivalent of a global FDIC or someone else would be saying you have to pass the yellow bar. You can't just be the green bar, and you certainly can't be the red bar.
Can I get in the queue? It's Evan.
Sure, Evan. Go ahead. You're up.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm in violent agreement with what you just said. Going back to the controls as we were looking at them in the last hour, some of them are binary. That is, either you have something in the service level agreement or you don't. There's other things where there's certain metrics that need to be defined, things like response times and things like that. There is a lot of flexibility within the controls to be able to say, here is the minimum standard by which something can be classed high security, and here is a superior standard that we could optionally allow. To me, this is a matter of making a walking before we run. I mean, I'd like to see us get to, the level that says, okay, you're all right, then if we want to do an A-plus later on, I think that would be a good idea. I don't, frankly, I'll be happy enough to get one out of the door right now.
That's great, and if we can sort of get this encapsulated into a couple of paragraphs, I think made enormous progress, you know, in clarifying at least my misconception and discomfort. So I appreciate the time.
But I don't hear anyone on the call so far who's defending the report card method that's been advanced a number of times previously.
Can I? This is Andy. I'm going to grab the floor. So actually, I think there's really three ways to look at it. The first is we could come up with a report card mechanism for. I'll call these three things the methods of assessment. The first method might be a report card. The second method might be a certification. The third method, you know, if we choose the report card as the initial method, that doesn't really preclude us from doing a certification as well, either at the same time or at a later date. What I mean by that is the report card concept is neat because it allows full transparency. So control by control, it's kind of a nice way to publish sort of with fully transparent accuracy at each control level what registry is doing what. Because it would go presumably by control, it would provide, you know, different colors. I think we had the colors out there defined in an earlier email. And it gives the community complete transparency as to who's doing what from that level. The certification concept is interesting because it sets up a specific bar of requirement. And you could actually then apply the certification to a report card and say, you know, to get a certification, you would need to have the following controls in place, either all of them or some of them or whatever combination it is, but they could function together. So I would offer that. Well, the reason the report card thing sounded interesting to me was that it sounded like something we could put together more rapidly. You know, we just include those levels in the control structure, and we have a report card done. Where a certification, I think there'd be a lot of discussion around what's the right level.
Andy, this is Evan. My only concern with that is there's the flip side of the transparency. On an earlier call, there was somebody who actually mentioned, do you actually want to put out to the public, well, here's where we passed and here's where we failed on security issues. Is that something that actually is intended to be a public document?
Yeah, I think that was me, Evan, that raised that question.
Well, it's as valid now as it was back then. And when you get to the report card, it's one thing to say that, you know, it's nice and transparent. On the other hand, it's providing a whole lot of exposure that might not be welcome.
Totally agree with that, Evan. That's absolutely true. That's a con behind that model, right? And I think I would anticipate that to be valuable, the report card does have to be published, right? People have to be able to see it. The community has to be able to understand it, and they have to be able to reference it and know who's doing what. So, yes, that would be a con for the report card.
Whereas in the certification, the certification body can, in private, assess whether or not the criteria has been met, and the public information is, yes, have they passed the bar or not.
Yeah, your little gold star or whatever it is that, you know, ultimately is branded, you know, the certification, right? That is all that's revealed. That's absolutely true. Anybody else want to weigh in on those two concepts, or three concepts, really?
This is Paul Schmoser. I guess as I think about who ultimately is going to be interested in this information, one large group, arguably, are going to be the consumers of that website, right? The people who use it, who might like to know that it is or is not secure. And I think, given that, one thing we probably need to drive to is simplicity. And simplicity would probably suggest a kind of pass-fail, green, yellow, red, whatever kind of scenario. There may be others who are, you know, specific to a community or want to dig deeper who might well want to know the details, but I'm, I guess, a little ambivalent about how much of the detail we have to reveal.
Right.
The other thing I guess we could look at is some of the existing kind of certification programs, but I'm even a little hesitant to suggest those. I mean, I'm not sure. One that quickly comes to mind is something like PCI, but I'm not sure how many people still consider the effectiveness of PCI when we've had a lot of security issues in supposedly PCI-certified kinds of operations. So, but I guess my fundamental message is I think if we're looking at this from an end-user perspective, someone who would want to say, when I go to this website, I'm doing something that I think is important enough that I'd like to know it's secure, I think simple is better than complex.
Is there still a queue?
Yeah, there is. You want to get in, David?
Sure.
You're up.
Good. I agree with what Paul just said. One of the things I do want to take note of is that the implication on the domain name is not merely that the website is secure, and especially in I think a financial community, the idea or the notion that that the mail system is secure is equally important. I don't necessarily want to throw this huge wrench of digitally signed email or reputation systems in the mix, but that's actually something that would, in fact, be very, very desirable in the current world. Knowing that that an email comes from the bank and it's not a fish would be a huge, huge win eventually.
Anybody else want to get in the queue?
Well, this is Paul again. I just want to thank you for throwing yourself in front of the bus on that one. I agree with you 100%, but I guess I'm a little hesitant in the goal to try and get as far as we can down this road to even throw that in for consideration. I will tell you that on the BIT side, we are doing a lot of work with our members on the whole question of email authentication. And you'll probably see more publicly about that very shortly. But I appreciate that you're right in that space, that there is a complicating factor in the security of the email represented by that domain. I'm just not sure that won't slow us down considerably if we try and throw it in now.
This is Evan. I totally agree with that. As a matter of fact, one of the things that's been a concern within at large is feature creep of ICANN. It has a hard enough time coping with issues of namespace and names and IP addresses. Getting into email security may be a bit of a reach. It may not well be able to do. I think if the best that it can do is a high security zone that verifies things like accuracy, resistance to phishing, and things like that, that'll be a huge accomplishment unto itself. It doesn't mean the other things aren't needed. It just means I think it's out of ICANN's core competency to be able to work on.
I just want to make certain that when we end up with controls, we recognize that there will be applications outside of web, and that we don't get so overly focused on our control satisfying web kind of orientation that we forget that there are many, many other applications that will count in a high security TLD. And we don't have to go into the mail. I don't want to throw myself in front of any more buses than I do on a daily basis.
Well stated. Anybody else want to get in the queue? Okay. So with that, I'm going to begin closing the call down. I'm going to go person by person to find out if anyone has some last-minute items to say.
And then we will we'll depart for this week and continue forward. So, Jonathan Frakes, anything? Nothing?
Sorry, I was muted. No, nothing. But I only correct people I like. It's Jothan is how my first name.
You know, and I normally I apologize. I'm looking at it online and I'm seeing that in my that's my mistake.
It's perfectly natural. Yes, great call today. Thank you.
Thanks, Jonathan. Evan Leibovich.
This has been a great call. I would go along with the suggestion that the certification and the report card are not incompatible, but perhaps what might be the best thing is that the report card component may be confidential and internal, and it's only the certification component that is public-facing.
Thanks, Evan. John McElwain.
The only other question I have is what we are going to be doing with the comments we've presumably received. I haven't checked online, but
that's a great question. So I think I'm fairly certain the way it's going to roll out is I'll probably have to take a first stab at answering the comments. And then I can distribute that out to the group so everyone can see what my draft responses are. Does that sound like a good vehicle?
Yeah, I'm hoping that some of the comments will address these issues and provide us some, good insight as to, certification versus report card and how the two can be seen by the community as melding together.
Yeah, I took a look at the comments up there, and as I recall sort of sitting here now, I think there were about 7 or 8 comments, and they were sort of interesting. So for those that haven't seen the comments on our snapshot development, go up there and take a look on ICANN's site. You can read through them. They're actually fairly interesting. Thanks, John. That was really good. Paul Smosher.
Nothing additional at this point.
Thanks, Paul. Dave Piscatella.
I think this is a good call. I'm always happy when I learn something and get a better understanding of what others are explaining. And I think this is great if we can just make certain we capture it, so I don't forget. I am getting old.
I'll do my best to pull some material together. I think to meet the current commitment, we're going to have to come up with some material. I think the control material is relatively vague. We'll probably go back and forth through our technical call on that. So that's got a good process of support that's already going forward. And on this type of material, I'll try to put some drafts out in the next couple of weeks to send out to the group so we can all look at it on paper. And I'll take the bold step forward so everyone can beat it up and we'll get it to where it needs to be. I'll take that one on.
Cool.
Lynn Goodendorf.
I really appreciated you identifying that there's a need to work on the program description well
Thanks.
And making sure we've captured the key decisions that people are expecting from our group. Because I had wondered, other than the controls, what else needed to be done. So that was very useful. Thanks.
Lynn, that's a great comment as well. Maybe I can expand out a little bit on that for next week's call, because I'm just talking about a couple of the key areas, but there are other significant areas. Qualities of the assessor, relationship to the assessor to the review. There's some really significant things out there that I don't think we're going to have time to probably get to for Applicant Guidebook 4, but I can at least put the ones that I'm aware of out there for draft to the group for next week's exercise as well.
Yeah, I think that would be good. We could at least start thinking about them.
Okay, we'll do. I'll start to wrap some. And again, my list is just Andy's list. So, if anyone wants to start adding to it, I can push that out into the HSTLD email chain, and we can kind of get everything sort of in one central location. We can start ticking them off as we go.
Hey.
Thanks, Lynn. And Francisco, you're the last one up.
I don't really have anything to add.
Okay, Francisco. Thanks very much. Okay, so with that, I'm going to close this week's call down. Thanks, everybody, for bearing with me. I know I'm a last-minute stand-in for Mike, so I tried to channel him as best I could. Thanks for bearing with me through that. If anyone has any questions, push it out to the HSTLD email group, or else I will talk to you all next week. Thanks, everybody.
Righty. Thanks a lot. Good call.
Bye
now.